From the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine, we welcome back Sean Latch. Hello there, Sean.
Hey, great to be back.
Great to be in a brand new month here in a matter of hours. And, well, this last one was pretty entertaining. How about that big old pink supermoon the other night?
Yeah, I know a lot of folks were very excited about that. Of course, having a moon that's at perigee, its closest point to us, and a full moon, really pretty, just in a great sight, actually, on that evening. Unlike today, where we've got lots of clouds and rain out there, unfortunately.
Well, we've got a new month of terrific programs coming up, and let's start with the Friday show's Mayan Archaeoastronomy. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, this program is a return of a program that was very popular a few years ago. It takes a look at the way the Mayans viewed the night sky and how they, you know, built temples and a variety of different monuments like Chichen Itza and Teotihuacan and some of those. To, of course, measure positions of the sun, moon, and planets. And in particular, they spent a lot of time looking at the planet Venus and figured out its cycle of motion in the sky, and which is kind of appropriate because in May, we get Venus back in our night sky shortly after sunset. So it's going to be getting better and better as the month goes on, but you'll be able to start to see it right away after sunset once again.
The Sunday show, too, is a popular favorite, Magic Treehouse Space Mission, Sundays at 2.
Yeah, that, of course, is based on the Mary Pope Osborne series, Magic Treehouse. We join Jack and Annie, and they have to solve a mystery about, of course, our place in space. So they talk with an astronaut and an astronomer and the help of an astronomy book and a few other things to solve that mystery, which is really a lot of fun, and get to travel around space, learning all about planets and our place in space as well.
And the music show this month going to be a favorite for a lot of people, Killer Queen.
Yeah, that program already is, we have quite a few tickets already sold for that show. Of course, with our limitation of 11, makes it a bit of a challenge. But Killer Queen is back. And of course, that band is very popular, very iconic, and features some great songs like Bohemian Rhapsody and another one, Bites the Dust, We Are the Champions, and We Will Rock You, of course, and several other wonderful hits. So definitely a fan favorite.
Now, tell me about this, Sean. What does NASA have to do with those pesky mosquitoes?
Ah, yes. So, of course, NASA has made an app for tracking mosquitoes. And really, this sort of ties into the whole question around, looking at global warming, if you will, and NASA's always trying to look at what types of things get influenced by global warming, and we do know that mosquito populations definitely can be. So they've kind of created an app to help folks sort of track mosquito populations, and one of our partners for Earth Day, of course, wrote a nice little article for us in our newsletter about this.
Well, that's wonderful stuff. We're talking with Sean Latch from the Amera Astronomy Center, and we mentioned Venus, and this coming month, am I right that various times we'll be able to see five of the planets?
That is true. Right now we have Mars visible in our evening sky as soon as it gets dark. That's around. Mercury and Venus are both going to be visible in the evening sky. With Mercury, it's going to be a little bit better towards the end of the month. Will be a nice chance to try to see those as Mercury and Venus come close together in our nighttime sky. And then, of course, right now, if you're an early morning riser, Jupiter and Saturn are visible in the morning sky. Jupiter rising a little bit after 2 a.m. and Saturn around 3:30 in the morning. So for those who are really early risers, you might want to catch them right before sunrise.
And we've got another full moon coming up on May 26th and more opportunities to see the globular cluster M4.
Yeah, there's a whole variety of, nice objects here in the summer sky. And we're sort of, even though we're sort of still in spring and summer doesn't officially begin, we're sort of getting spring skies and some of those summer objects popping in. We have, of course, globular clusters like M13 and Hercules, which are really beautiful. Also M44, the Beehive Cluster in Cancer the Crab, which that one in particular is visible to the unaided eye. Just as a little smudge, but binoculars will give you a much better view. So, yeah, there's definitely a bunch of really nice things to see in our night sky right now.
And somebody asked me to ask you, when's the best time to see the ISS?
So, one of the best ways to look for that is to use an app And heavens-above.com will give you updates on that. Of course, always changing. But when you go to that, if you put in your location, it will tell you upcoming passes of the International Space Station and several other satellites. And I would be remiss about not mentioning, of course, if you're interested in sort of space flight in general, we just had the passing of Michael Collins, you know, Apollo 11 astronaut. And he was the astronaut that stayed on board the command module while Neil and Buzz, of course, went down to the surface. But he was really a phenomenal astronaut and, you know, one who went on to lead the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. for some years and really continued to contribute to NASA all throughout his lifetime.
Yeah, we were talking about him yesterday and the fact that he understood, and he had talked about it, that his mission was to do just that. He was trained as a command module pilot. He understood that he was not going to be on the surface of the moon, but also knew that his role was every bit as important as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, and all the astronauts, you know, that you talk to, you know, they said he never had a, you know, a bad word about that, or, you know, he never felt slighted or anything like that. He really knew, you know, what his mission was, and he fulfilled it, you know, with grace and dignity, which is really incredible.
And it was put in perspective, and I think it was a silly, you know, the memes that people do, but this one had a little bit more meaning, and it was a photograph that Michael Collins had taken from the command module that showed the lunar module descending to the moon's surface, and then the Earth in the foreground, and the realization that every human being, alive or dead, was in that photograph except Michael Collins.
Yeah, definitely a very amazing, you know, perspective and way of looking at things. And, you know, he also was one of the astronauts who mentioned the fact of looking back at the Earth made you think of it as a world to be cared for and a place that we needed to take better care of. So I think that also is one of his legacies.
Now, help me on this, Sean. I've been reading a couple things today about this Chinese rocket that is going to be going through what's called an uncontrolled re-entry. Is that anything that we should be concerned about?
Not really. I mean, most of these things primarily will burn, quite a bit will burn up in the atmosphere. And even though they're saying, quote, uncontrolled, it just means it's not going to be like, you know, some of the, you know, the SpaceX rockets where they come back down and land on a pad per se. So this one is going to fall back through the atmosphere. And that's the way we used to do things in the past. So I don't think it's too much to worry about. China just did launch, of course, basically their first module, if you will, of a new space station, a Chinese space station that they're planning to have several missions to construct and build. So that's something new that's coming up right now as well. And pretty interesting to see, you know, China going ahead and with their own sort of space station.
Well, I'm glad we don't have to worry, because I remember back in the 70s when we had that for a brief time, people all concerned that a big chunk of Skylab was going to land in the backyard.
I remember that, too. I was, you know, growing up in that time period, I was always very hopeful that a piece would land in my backyard. Of course, you couldn't have kept it, because if it did, you had to turn it into NASA and things like that. But, yeah, it ended up landing in the middle of the Australian outback. One of those things.
Well, Sean, it's always good to catch up with you and find out what's happening up in the skies and at the Versant Power Astronomy Center and Jordan Planetarium. Thanks for checking in, as always, and we'll visit again next month.
Sounds great.